Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Yay for us. We're together again. Hallelujah. All right. No problem. Do some housekeeping. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for letting us go. I thought it would be very good for my marriage that I would celebrate 40 years as she has endured her life with me. And so we had a great time. Went up in South Carolina. They talk funny there, eh? They talk more funny than some of our Vanellians here. You know, so it was quite interesting, and they had to hear us as well, which was quite interesting. But it was great. Yeah, we had a good time. I'm excited that I just in light of what Val was saying about the Spirit of God, I just wanted to just be totally aware that things are going to happen with God and the church in such a dynamic way that we will look in awe, because the prophetic people are speaking that all the revivals that have ever happened on planet Earth is not a match on what God's going to do. I don't think God paid such a high price in heaven for just a handful of people to go to Jesus and be in heaven. I don't think so. There's going to be a great harvest, and I just want you to be postured and poised and ready, because it's going to be exciting. We also got some exciting news. Remember when we March, when we went into our anniversary, I said, guys, we really need to pay our mortgage off, because we need to employ another couple to help us as we kind of posture ourselves and weave the basket for the growth that's coming. And so obviously you see that we accomplished that, and it's just a miracle. I still look at it, and still when I come to the finance meeting, which is going to happen this week, I'll look, and there we have that on our expense item. Is going to be just a wonderful thing to see. So I've been speaking about that, and so I want to just tell you that over the last couple of weeks, we've just been able to tie down and button up the couple that's going to come and join us. And I want to just show you up on screen. Denise and Freddie are going to come. They're going to become our worship pastors, and they're going to be involved in helping us carry the next season, the next generations into what God wants. And so I am excited about that. On the bottom right-hand side, that was Freddie and Denise leading us in worship when they came and helped us out a little while back. And so God has put it all together. It happened so quickly, because literally a week before June was finished, we got our mortgage paid for. And then they got their green card on July 4th. Fancy that. And they needed to get out of their lease of 6 months. And this lady walked in and said, I need to lease in this apartment, this complex for 6 months. Do you know of anybody? Answer you, I don't know. So God has lined up a whole lot of things and got their kids into school in this last minute. So it just all worked together, and that's just one of the exciting things. The other exciting thing is that we are partnering with Wave Christian Academy. And you may have seen this family wandering around, Jonathan. And just the boys are in today, but we are going to partner with Wade Christian Academy, a school. And so they're going to be using our facility during the week. And we need to help the education system. And I don't know about you, but we really need to make sure that we have a footprint in what our kids are learning. And so Jonathan is just a genius in administration and stuff. And he said, I just thought I'd try and see if I could just start up a school. And he went through the process, and he says, it's all done, it's all legal, and it's all ready. I said, well, you think Coastal can partner with you? And he said, yeah, we'd love to. So Jonathan, we're excited, and we're excited about that happening. And so we're jumping through a few hoops with health inspectors and fire departments, making sure we're all good, and then the kids. Their children are the first students to do the first semester in the school, so as we kick off. So I just thought I'd just let you know about the excitement that's happening of we're pushing forward with kingdom. And you have to be intentional about this. It just doesn't happen. You've got to go against all the stuff and chip through the red tape and do everything it needs so that the kingdom may come in all spheres of our lives, and we'll see. Because they don't know that when the kingdom comes, it gets blessed. And they just don't know that. So we just have to show them. that. So where are talking about, and where I'm talking to a bunch of people that are fearless and faithful. Amen, because that's been our theme this year. Are the Rawonskis in the house? Rawonskis. We got Texas in the house. It's nice to have you. And happy anniversary. The anniversary is on my birthday. They asked me to do their wedding, and it was on my birthday. So I had to celebrate my birthday the day after. It's nice to have you guys having a vacation from Texas. And it's good to have you here. And those that are visiting as well, it's just great. And obviously, Karen, it's nice to have you with us. So it's great to... AJ and Megan. I thought I saw you. Where are you guys? Where's AJ and Megan? Yo! And you're here with COVID, baby, and all. Man, COVID had benefits, man. It had benefits. So that's exciting, yeah. But, yeah, it's just so nice to do family. And all these dimensions of family. And the Rawonski family has grown since I last saw them. You know, he left here and headed off to Alaska and then found his Texas wife in Alaska. How does that all work together? And then come back and get married there. But anyway, that's just some of the behind stories. But we're talking about being fearless and faithful, because I tell you what, that is what we are called to be. We need to not shrink back when the Goliaths are in front of us, because the God who's for us is greater than the enemy that's against us. And so we really need to be able to do that and understand that Daniel says the people who know their God will be strong and will resist him, is the translation I've been looking at. That him is Lucifer, Satan, and the devil. We've got to make sure that we are quite aware in this Western world that we are pushing against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. That's what Ephesians 6 tells us, and that we have weapons to combat that. And one of the weapons is prayer. And if we are able to pray positively, constructively, biblically, we are able to get all heaven on our side pushing against principalities and powers. Like I said, when you plant a church like Coastal, it just doesn't happen. There's a lot of headwind, spiritual headwind. Enemy doesn't want you to do this. And use everything from people close to you to other churches to, I had preachers walk right into my house and tell me to get out of this town. You're not welcome here. You need to get out. So we had other people trying to cancel our visas. So you understand that it's just it just doesn't happen when you want to advance the kingdom of God. And when you want to live a biblical Christian life, in your own sphere and in your own place, and you're raising your children, and your children have to go into school systems and social systems where they're just anti-God, then we got to make sure that we understand how to fight and how to wrestle against the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. So I've been going on a series called Jesus Teach Us to Pray. And that comes from Luke 11. It's quoted of how the disciples, after Jesus had prayed, in fact, it says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and he had finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's where I got the title, Jesus, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And then Matthew 6, verse 9, goes on and quotes the same prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And so we've been going through that, and I just want to help us to have it in our communication, in our verbiage, and I want you to say this after me, because Val and I are driving up to celebrate 40th anniversary. She says you got to say it properly, because you said that, say it with me, and then I said I'm sure I said it, say after me. So I'm making sure you say it after me now, because I want you to try and at least say it once a week, but I'd like you to say it every day. So that you can have it as a tool in your toolkit and your spiritual warfare. So let's say this together, starting with verse 9. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.
There's so much that Jesus packed into this prayer. And I want you to understand straight away that if you have a look through it, and I'm not a real English buff, but you know, I've listened to guys talk about this, but it says here, it talks about our Father. It talks about a plural communication that we are, when we go into that place of prayer, it's not me, myself, and I. It's God. I'm talking about our lives, our families, our community, our businesses. It's all about that. It's plural. So it's a plural prayer, and it involves more of that. It also says, our Father, meaning it's a person. It's not, oh, God out there somewhere, echo, echo, is there anybody out there? No, God, our Father, is a personal connection. And then we spoke about how that connection is to a dad that loves us, and how good God is, and how wonderful God is. And there's no bad in our God that we're serving, in our Father that we're communicating with. Understanding that we were born into a world, a fallen world, that there is a bad dad that will do anything to destroy your soul, that the enemy. And Jesus said, your father is the father is of the devil. That's what Jesus was saying to the religious dudes of the day. And so you understand that there is a good dad and there is a bad dad. And where is the place and where God, our Father, the personal prayer, he is in a place of heaven, in a place. And so we have a plural prayer, a personal prayer, and it's a place, a prayer that has a place that we're talking to in God in heaven. And it goes on to say, hallowed be your name, holy, set apart is your name, God. And it's a praise to him. So the prayer starts with a praise, and you read the last line, it ends in a praise. And in between there is petitions, a petitioning God for that. So your kingdom come is the last thing I spoke on. And it's talking about us petitioning God that his kingdom would come on earth, that he has authorized and given Jesus full authority on heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth, if you read the Great Commission. He's given us, and then he says to us, now you go. Then he wouldn't say you go without giving us the authority, without giving us the ability to speak into these situations. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And many times when we get to have that as a backdrop when we're praying, we understand that when we're bringing our requests to the Father, we're bringing it so that it's in light of bringing your kingdom here. Why do I want my children saved and my family saved and my friends saved, my work, so that the kingdom may come, that his will may happen in those people's lives. So we have that perspective. So when we come to ask in giving or ask in forgiveness, it's all about making sure his kingdom is coming and his will is being done. And when we do that, when we take care of his business, he takes care of our business, and it transforms the results of your prayers. And so when Jesus, he wants us to ask, he's instructing us. So we don't go there with cap in hand saying, God, can we? But Jesus says, boldly come and ask the Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done. He's telling us to ask. He's instructing us to ask so that we can advance his kingdom. Why do we ask for all these things around coastal and that? So his kingdom can come. That the Bible school will bring his kingdom. That the academic school, the Christian school will bring his kingdom. Hope will bring his kingdom. Barry's Bible study will bring his kingdom. All these things is to bring his kingdom to lives. And when that happens, oh, everything changes. Because we want to do his work, his will, his way. And when we pray like that, you'd be amazed how much of your needs get met. How much of your situation gets affected. And on earth as it is in heaven. I want to just remind us that we want to release heaven on earth and eternity on earth. And it begins at salvation. Do you understand? When I gave my life to Christ, I stepped into eternity. I'm still, my earth suit's still walking around here, but I'm living in eternity. So when I drop this earth suit, I'm just moving on into eternity, because that's the nature of eternity. It's salvation. So it's happening right now, right here. So the eternity has happened. So today I want to talk about our petitioning for provision. Our petitioning for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is wanting us to know that God wants us to pray for provision. And the first point is he wants us to pray for natural provision. He wants us to pray. What is wrong with having a good house in a good area and having a good school? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with asking that? What is wrong with asking for a good job, a good employment, and have a good testimony in that situation? What is wrong? And it's not wrong to ask for provision for your family. Not wrong for that. What's wrong with asking for a good car that doesn't break down, that gets you from A to B, that doesn't cost you money? And I'll say the single parent saying, amen, amen. I'm just telling you, there's nothing, but the church has led us to believe that you can't ask God for that kind of stuff. I mean, that's not religious enough. No, forget that. God is asking us, come on, ask the question. If you as a parent know that you want to provide for your family, how much is God the Father, our Father, want to provide for us? And so he's saying, give us this day our daily bread. God's name is defined or they try to explain God in the Bible with different names. And so you get words like Elohim, God creator, El Shaddai, Almighty, God, Jehovah Rapha, God healer. The words are explaining the dimensions and the character and the nature of God. It's because God is just so awesome. Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. All these names to try and explain this awesome God that we serve. And then there's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Lord our provider. And it comes up in Genesis 22:14. That's the record of first mention. You always want to find out when is it first mentioned in the Bible. And it's first mentioned there. And that was when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. And when he was about to do that, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And that's where Abraham says, here is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. And so when Jesus is telling us, give us this day our daily bread, he is talking about understanding that the nature and the character of God is a provider. And the term daily bread is a Hebrew culture word that the term was used around God's provision for the day. And that's just that's and it's referenced there in with the children of Israel that were journeying in the wilderness. That's when it all started. First mentioned there, and the season of provision took 40 years. So you understand that God had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt and took them, and they were journeying through the wilderness. And why they had to take so long in the wilderness, because he took so long to get Egypt out of the children of Israel. I mean, they got children of Israel out of Egypt, but Egypt had grown and established itself fairly well in the children of Israel because they'd been there 400 years. You understand? You pick up the culture. I've been here now, how long? 17 years. I've picked up the culture. I can say the words properly. Half and half or half and half. Water. I'm practicing still. But that's what was happening. But there you see the season of provision, and it was talked about as daily bread. But let me show you the scripture. Exodus 16 verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they're bringing in, and it shall be twice as much as they gathered daily. And for the children of Israel, they had to live on a daily dependence on God, waking up in the morning and making sure if the groceries were DoorDash had dropped the groceries on the front door. You understand that? So it was a daily dependence. They could not take a whole lot more. They had to take. And if we don't develop a daily dependence, give us this day our daily bread, then we become the people that are want to be the ones that will depend on ourselves or depend on others and want to be self-sufficient or ask the government to look after you and be dependent on the government with all sorts of unemployment checks and food stamps. Yes, there is a place for that. But our dependence is on God. God is our source. I remember now, just brought to memory, well, after I'd been in ministry a long time, I went back to work in South Africa and I got my first check, and the Holy Spirit grabbed me and says, are you now dependent on that check Or are you going to still remain dependent on me as you have done the last 8 or 10 years in full-time ministry? And every time I grabbed that check, I said, God, this is just a top-up plan. I really trust in you, because what I need is more than what's in that check. I need safety. I need protection. I need health. I need a whole lot of stuff. And I need my daily bread. So it's important that we understand that. So we're not dependent. And it's faith without hints, okay? We have these people that have great faith, but they have great hints as well. And so in Psalm 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. You get so proficient in your own gifting and your own abilities and everything else that you forget to go to God for your daily bread, your daily provision. And it's so important that we keep that. And that's why Jesus was teaching us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so Jesus was teaching them that. And so the prayer begins with a daily connection with that relationship with God. And it's really great that you'd be able to do that. You have table time, something that you get together as family. I don't know how often it happens nowadays that you have table time, a meal around the table, have family time, and then you have father time. And you need to have that father time every day. And that's why we need to come to him daily and say, Father, I need that. Daily bread, the children of Israel called manna. What does the word manna mean? It actually translates, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. It was a seed-type food. Exodus 16, verse 14, it says, when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small, round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Translated, manna. Okay? For they did not know what it was. Moses goes on to give them the Lord's instruction about what this is. And it's key for us to heed today. Because they went on to verse 16. It says, Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer. What's an omer? 2 quarts, about 2 liters, weighing about 3 pounds. Each person to have one of those, each person, according to the number of persons, let each man take for those who are in their tent, your group, your clan. And then the measure of it by omers. He who gathers much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So you understand when Harland has to go out to get his manna, he had to go and get 4 omers. Jedediah has to get 7 omers. John Covey has to get 2.5 because he's got a baby in due. Heidi had 10 in her family, so she and mom and dad, that's 12. If I was around, I would have to go and get 11 for us. So each one had to get 1 omer for each person in the family. And somehow, supernaturally, that if you didn't quite get it right, there was always enough. And so we need to understand that the provision is enough for the day, and God wants us to understand that. And I want us to understand that to go and get it requires work. So sometimes you think, oh, God, give us our daily bread and just sit at home on your lazy boy with your remote and think, oh, okay, DoorDash is just going to happen and food's going to arrive. No, they had to get up and go and get the manna. Just a sort of a side note that if you think that this is an easy get-rich-quick system that you can just let God just provide, it's not going to happen. You've got to get up and go and get manna. Now, just imagine eating manna for 40 years. Man, you have manna burgers, manna pretzels, manna tacos. I mean, you'd be doing manna in every kind of recipe you could possibly think after that. I think it could get quite creative. It's like we got creative in our military rat pack, the ration pack. It's a little box like it, supplying one day. You're trying to get creative with what that boiled egg and that beans in that tin looks like when it opens out there, it smells like. And then you've got to be very creative in how to make that appetizing so you can get your protein. I remember my friend, we had, they're called biscuits. They're more like rocks. They're hard as anything. You'll break your teeth on the things. We call them dog biscuits. And so we get all sort of creative with them. We'd take them and soak them overnight in our mess tin with water so that they would swell because they were so dry and hard and stuff. And then in the morning we would put butter in and fry them and then put our jelly, squeeze the jelly out of that. I tell you, you're desperate to get all to get food fancy. Eh? And I can remember my, Charles Irwin, if he's watching in Perth, I still remember his filthy bottom legs and he's balancing all the dog biscuits on his leg here and he's spreading the all of it with his finger because you don't have a knife and stuff. And then he says, would you like to join me? But I'm just telling you that God provided that manna for them so that they could, not forgetting that their clothes never wore out, nor did their shoes wear out. And there's that kind of provision that God does while you're not looking. We had a guy that, and I'm jumping ahead, that didn't want to tithe. So Harry and I said, okay, we'll stand guarantor. You tithe and see how God does this. And if you run short, we will chip in. And then at the end of the first month, he says, man, I just had some guy said, listen, I ordered too many tires. Just tires for your car. And he says, I needed to have tires. And one thing after another, and you just saw God provide in so many different ways. And I just want to just tell you that God is there knowing that if you're asking for a daily bread, there's a whole lot of aspects that go with that. And then so every day you're asking for your daily bread for your family, provisioning all these areas. If you're a business owner, you need to understand that when you're asking for your daily bread, you're asking for provision to pay the salaries for those that are working for you, having work for those that those that are coming to you, making sure that they're healthy. If they're spiritually not awakened to Christ, that you're believing for that. There's all those things that you need to include in your give us today our daily bread. So it's important that you understand that. You also got to understand that in this whole provision thing, that there is a warning, that there is a caution. The writer in Proverbs says this in Proverbs 30, verse 8, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the, profane the name of God. You understand that there is traps that the enemy will suck you in where you get so prosperous that you forget God. Who's this provider? He's not the source anymore. Or you get into such a place where he's just killing, stealing, and destroying, and that you get to that place. So when you come each day, ask him for your daily bread. And so it's important that you understand that we need to asking God. You know, there's three gospels that are getting preached today. One is the prosperity gospel. Name it and claim it. You need a Maserati in your garage and all those kind of things. Now, God's able to do all that. But he also knows that will damage you, destroy you, and disillusion you. And then there's a poverty gospel. Pastor, we'll keep the pastor, God keep the pastor humble, we'll keep him poor. You know, that kind of poverty gospel that you're not allowed to have anything, that's also junk. But Jesus preaches a provision gospel. I like that. He provides. And I want us to be able to embrace that when we come to prayer. And so it's important that we ask and have a dependence, a daily dependence, asking God. I just reminded of Yonggi Cho. Yonggi Cho pastors one of the largest churches in the world. That was at one stage 700,000 people. But when it was at 2,000, he asked God for a bicycle because it was getting very difficult to get around his congregation of 2,000 to preach to them and connect with them. And so he said, God, I need a bicycle. So give us today our daily bread. He would say, God, today I need a bicycle. And 1 week went past and still no bicycle. 2 weeks. Eventually, Father, he says, I know that's not a problem with you to get a bicycle, but you know, where is the bicycle? It's part of my daily need, daily bread. And he said, Yonggi Cho, how many different bicycles are there? How many different colors are there? How many different sizes are there? Can you be a little bit more specific? And he literally said, okay, I need a 26 rim, yellow, drop handlebars, comfy seat, all that kind of stuff. Next day, it was on his doorstep. You understand, you've got to be, give us our daily bread. It's nice. That's why I say when God's giving us this prayer, It's like bullet points. I've got to dig into that and say, Father, in this, what I'm saying, I need actually this for my car, this for work, this for my bank balance, this, and give us this day our daily bread. So natural provision is one of the things. The second thing we need to ask for is spiritual provision. Spiritual provision is give us spiritual bread. As believers, we have a spiritual dimension that needs to be met in God. And so Jesus wanted us to ask for a spiritual bread. And bread was we understand now, is a provisional language that was spoken. And so here we see Jesus having a conversation in John 6:31. It says, our Father ate the manna in the desert. Now, obviously, the people that are conversing are saying this to him. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Who is that bread? He goes on and answers that in verse 34. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You understand that there is an appetite and a bread that we need each day that comes through Jesus. And Jesus is saying that, take me, the bread of life, to totally satisfy and sustain you spiritually. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to do that. We've got to make time for that in our space and in our place. Because you can't just, like I was saying, your daily provision. God didn't just, he made it that we need to count three meals a day. So we didn't have to go to him and say, God, give us today our annual meal. No. I know some of us have more than three meals a day, but we have that daily need to eat, and it's not an annual or a monthly need. Same thing here. We have to understand that we have a spiritual need that has to be met. And so the Satan had a go at Jesus when he was in the wilderness after fasting 40 days. Kind of hits you in the weak points. Just want to let you know that Satan does that. Kind of punches you in the weak spots when you're really struggling. And that's why you mustn't get yourself exhausted, church. Don't get yourself to that place where you're so exhausted. That's when the enemy really takes a good dip at you. And he takes your wheels out, right out from underneath you. As Dave Cape once told me, he says, you need a break before you need, you're going to take a break before you need a break. And it's important. So that's why we went away to the mountains. And so I am ready and fired up because, Jesus is about to come back and we better be ready. So here, Jesus gets a shot from across the bow from Satan. He says, if you're the Son of God, this is Matthew 4, verse 3. He says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Translated, we live by daily instruction and directions from the Lord. That's what happens. Because some of us don't do that. We kind of get into the mess of the day, and then we say, God, please get us out of the mess. Can you just do some preventative prayers sometime? God, guide me so I don't land up in the ditch today. Can you guide me? But no way. We take off in the day, land in the ditch, and then we've got to pray our way out of the ditch. Just have some preventative maintenance. Get up and pray, God, hey, lead me, direct me, give me this day. Because Proverbs 4:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, for he shall direct your path. And it's important that you understand that we need to have time with God. Because we have situations in our lives today, and I know every one of us have, that we need spiritual input, we need spiritual guidance, we need spiritual help. Whether it's a financial decision, whether it's family decision, whether it's a marriage decision, whether it's a health or work or future decision, we need a now word from God. We need a now word, and it's called a rhema word, a zum-zum word. When you're reading the scriptures and it jumps off the page and it says, this is your word for today to anchor your soul so that your hope does not get deferred any longer, that you may stand and go through what you're doing. In our early days as a Christian, we used to have a little book called Daily Bread. And we always, just to dig in, it's okay, God, what are you saying today? And try and get sustenance from it. The exciting thing that we also, as a church, are going through it. We're on day 206, aren't we? Going through the Bible in a year. We're on day 206. zipping through Isaiah and in Matthew. So it's just been great. And God, while you're reading it, you can't, every day I'm walking through the day and the scripture comes up that I read this morning or I listened to this morning, and it comes up and it's sustenance, or it's an answer to somebody that's in need. It's so important that we have that spiritual food in the morning. So just to be encouraged. And you know, most of our daily bread helps us with tomorrow's anxiety. We've got a lot of anxiety about tomorrow, don't we? And I should have a Scott Cruz should say amen to that, because he's always concerned about tomorrow. But tomorrow has enough grace for itself and mercy for itself. We need today. And so I need grace for today. And so we need to understand that today we need to be able to ask for our daily bread today. Tomorrow, God will take care of tomorrow. I just need to take care of today. So anxiety comes about all about tomorrow. Tomorrow's stress and stuff. So scripture encourages us in Lamentations. Lamentation is where your Bible is laminated together. Doesn't part, because you never get there. Lamentations. Chapter 3, verse 20 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never ceases. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Huh. Wake up and say, yep, yesterday's bygones. Today's a fresh day. Today is a good day. Today is a new day. And so leave yesterday as yesterday, okay? Learn from it, but let's move forward. And Lamentation says that his faithful love never ends. His mercies never cease. His great is his faithfulness. So we need fresh bread, fresh manna for our spiritual and physical need every morning. Last thought before I let you go, so you can have some coffee and fellowship. Daily manna is a test. Daily manna is a test. The children of Israel were told to take enough for one day, and obviously for the Sabbath, take 2 days. This was a test of trust. Like I said, you wake up in the morning and then you believe in God that I'm way out in the wilderness. There's no 7-Eleven around the corner or Publix. It best be something on the ground there, God, or otherwise we're going hungry today. There's going to be a lot of growling stomachs around us, a million people here out in the desert. It was a test of trust. And God wants us to know that he's provided for tomorrow. And he has provided for today. Like tithing is a test, church. Tithing is Malachi says, test me in this. And it's about tithing. And this is what I've got to say about it. That you can live further on 90% with God than you can on 100% on your own. You need to put that on your refrigerator. You can live further with 90% with God than 100% on yourself. And we've tested and tried that. Do not go the 100% route. Do go the 90%. And man, what a generous God. All of it belongs to him. And he says, oh, you can live on 90%. Just let me build the kingdom with 10%. Come on, church. So God is, its test is all about trust. And it's a twofold trust. Twofold trust is that, can we be trusted to be a steward of what God gives us? Because we don't belong to ourselves any longer. Everything we have, our home, our car, our lives, everything are his. He paid it with a price. Are we a good stewards with it? And can we be entrusted to do what God says as we go to him daily in prayer? And then do we trust God? Can we be trusted and do we trust God? And if we don't, then we need to examine our faith, because our God's become too small in your eyes. We've got to be able to understand that God is able to provide for us. Close with the story about Val and I in 1986. We took this quantum leap to obviously move from ministry in Zimbabwe and come to America. But we need to pay for a flight in Africa to come to America is a big chunk of change. Let me just tell you that. And so we took this big step, and this farmer phoned us and he said, "Did you get my envelope?" I said, "No, I don't get your envelope." So we went and looked in one of those front doors that you never use. There was an envelope stuck under there, and to the cent was the money. He says, "I just thought I'd send you some of the money that I made from the farm." And he sent it, and it was the exact amount of money that we needed for our flights to America. We got to America. The promise of provision didn't happen. And so for 11 months, now there's a lot of days in 11 months, a lot of days. and we watched God provide. It was a year that God taught us to live by faith and to be able to pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We watched God provide every day. He provided cars, He provided homes, He provided flights, He provided food, He provided gifts for our kids. He provided me seeing, 26 of the 50 states in that 11 months. Amazingly, what God did. But every day I was hanging on to Him because I got two children, 1 and 2 years old, and Valerie, and we needed to have food and we needed to have a place to stay. And they said, oh, you can go and preach and make money by preaching. And God clearly said, I don't want you to prostitute the gospel. Walk with me and I will provide for you. And I tell you today, I tell you from experience, and Dave and Carol can tell you from experience, and those that are ministers in here can tell you from experience, that we live day by day understanding that God is faithful. He's never seen the righteous forsaken. He's never seen them out begging for bread. Because if we put our trust in Him, watch out. It's exciting. So let me pray for you and let you loose. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that we can truly come to you boldly, and you've told us through your Son Jesus that we can clearly and boldly come to you and say, give us this day our daily bread, because it's been assigned to us. You've planned it for us. You've made a way for us. Father, you send the angelic hosts ahead of us, making a way where sometimes there seems no way. Through the Red Sea, through the desert, needing water out of a rock, all these things needed to be provided for. And Father, even the prophets, they had birds come and feed them. They had widows and their last meal come and feed them. So Father, we understand from your scripture, but we need a now word now to help us with our arena where we are right now. So we are asking, Father, that you would give us our daily bread, that we would be a confident people that would go daily to you for that daily relationship, for that daily fellowship, and that daily petition, that we would ask you for the daily bread for our daily needs. And so, Father, we trust you. We look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look unto you because, Father, without you, the very breath